Bezos Hashem Yisbarach, we are starting the second shir on Torah Chaf Hey. Very exciting. It seems that there's an unbelievable amount of enthusiasm and life around Teres Rabbeinu, with different Ian Shirim, Bekir Shirim, Ahmed Yaimi, and our own group trying to strike, I guess, a balance of bringing in different concepts and what we need to know to flesh out and get through the Torah, I guess, striking a little bit of a middle ground. But as we begin, I'm going to mention one idea I saw on the Sifsei Chen, the volume on Pesach. We're in the Parshias on Pesach. It starts on page Mem Beis. I want to just mention it quickly, and then we will summarize where we're at from last week a little bit, and then start to go weiter. The Sifsei Chen brings, says, Mikra Male Dibra Kasov Umibsari Echzele Ka, that if we look in the construction of a person, we will able to understand the model of creation, the model of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. Shebekoimas Ha'adam Nirmazma Eser Sfiris HaKadoshais, that in the structure of a person, we see a hint, we see a parallel to the Eser Sfiris, which is how, I guess we could just briefly say that this is the point of connection, how we relate to godliness in the world, our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu through the spheres, through the Midais. Beroisha Adam Nirmazu Hamaychin, the Chabad, in the head of a person, it relates to the Meichen, the three spheres, which would be Chachma, Bina, and Das. And we focused a lot on Chachma, Bina, and Das last week. Chachma being the spark of an idea, the inception, the Nakuda of wisdom, where it comes from, not being self-generated. It could come from information being given through Mesorah. It can come from the Nevuah, wherever. Bina is what you do with this Chachma, right? Ima Bina, the initial Zera comes from Abba. What does Ima do? Ima takes that Zera and fleshes it out. It expands it into a person. A person can compare, contrast, Bima Dama Milsa Lid Milsa, Mevin Davar Mitaych Davar. The Koyach of a person is to now take this and to flesh it out, to expand on it. Das is that Koyach that integrates it. It makes that what a person knows, it's going to translate it into the Midos, because Gufa Adam Nirmas Ha Midos, the next seven spheres, which we're familiar with from Spheres Aimer, Chagas, Nahi, and Malchus, Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzachai, Desai, and Malchus. Ubinayim, B'makam Ha'ayref, V'agarunim, Tzemayach, Hadas. Das is this koyach in the middle. The example that we've given last week, and we can talk about it in many different ways, is the way that a person feels about something is necessarily tied to the way that they to the knowledge and their relationship intellectually with it. If a person sees Rahman al-Itzlan, a kid fall, they say oyvei. They realize that it's their kid. They relate to it emotionally in an entire different way. If they're at an event, the example we gave last time, I was using weddings and funerals as two different life events. A person who is sad at a wedding and happy at a funeral, we would say that they're emotionally unstable. The way that what a person understands about a particular event, if they are stable and they are well-founded, well-grounded, rooted in their das, then that should flow through to the emotions. And therefore, that koyach that connects the seichel to the midais, that is called the das. And in the structure of a person, that would be by the neck. Take what's in the seichel, what's in the head, what translates it into by the heart, by the main part of a person. Well, the main part could be the das, but the body of a person. This tafkid of the das is to flow through, to allow it, and it will ultimately become one motion. It doesn't become split up. It's not that a person needs information and say, how should I feel about this? With a well-adjusted, lined-up person, this should be mukhrach, it should be automatic. Part of our avoda is to understand the correct way of thinking about things with Eiris of a Kutcher Brichu Chadu, with Torah as the objective framework of the world, the true expression of reality, working to create a Dir B'Tachtainim, so that the Shechina should not be in Golis, that we relate the entire Bria through the true perspective and we line it up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then we will be calibrated to Ratzon Hashem. But even in our personal structure, the das represented by the neck is what's going to flow through from the head to the midos. Kedesha guf midos of isnagwal pihay ras hamayach, so that the guf and the heart should be well calibrated. What a person understands, they hear news that could affect their heart rate, should be in line with their das. V'sham b'makom hadas hu shayresh machzav nishmas Yisrael. And this place of the Das is where the Neshamas of Yisrael come from. Okay, he brings in Arizal. V'gam Nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu Hoysa Mibichinas Hadas. Amichelek HaToiv Shaloi Nifgam. V'lachein Hutzroch Liyos HaGu'ula Rak Al Yadoi. I'm not going to go through the whole piece, but I just want to read another few words. The Koyach HaZikaron Shel Adam. What is the Koyach HaZikaron? What is the power of memory? Memory is not necessarily opposite forgetting. There are things that we remember all the time that we haven't thought about in years. Or you go to let yourself into a door and you remember the combination. You type it in. You haven't thought about it in years. Was it forgotten in between? If it was forgotten in between, then there would be no way to remember it now. Where did that memory come from? It's something that was dormant that was now triggered. And this happens all the time. Things that we forgot, we can remember. It's a power of recall. What Zicharon really is it's a power of recall so that we can act going forward based on certain information. And we can put it at the forefront. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps this is Pshat, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember the Avos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not capable of forgetting, so if remembering is the opposite of forgetting, then that wouldn't apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu either. We ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take into consideration the Avos and how he relates to us. This Koyach Zikaron is the Das. We take things that we know intellectually and then we translate them into being fully integrated, into being relevant. What's the Koyach of Achayre Hadas? That would be the nape of the neck, the back. Not on the tzad of the face, on the tzad of the panim, on the tzad of the relationship, but rather it would be in the back of the neck. Shem nimtza Koyach HaShikha Sheba Adam, the idea that we could take something and make it not relevant, something that whether we know it or not, it's something that is that will not impact the midas. Ubemakom hazeh oimedes klipa tmeya hanikra paray, which is oisiyos ha'oref, that a person can know hayahayve v'yia melech malchay emlacham hakadosh baruch hu yudke vavke. And I don't have das. I don't know hakadosh baruch hu. That doesn't translate into anything meaningful. A person can know all of this and still stand up and say lihaya arva niyasisiv v'tachta bemakom meitzar agaron oimedes klipa tmeya nikra mitzrayim. Okay, and then it. And then it goes on. So what we see over here is this dynamic in a person, what actually controls the midos in the immediate sense. What controls the midos is the das. It's information. It's something that's sichli. It's something that we relate to in a informational brain type way. But if a person is well adjusted and there's a healthy das, what that das is actually the bridge, and it's an extension between something that's purely intellectual and that it doesn't necessarily translate into the midos, so that we can take the things that the idea of a seichel, which is removed from midos, otherwise we might have certain biases and so on, we could take what we recognize as truth and then we can translate that into ideas that will impact us emotionally. The example that we gave before is, let's say, if this helps, if you have food, understanding the nutritional information would be a purely intellectual thing. The body itself is what eats the food. It gets nutrition. What does a person have a taste for? I think that this at least helped me just it's, I don't know if it's a perfect mashal. What creates what I have an appetite for? When a person has an appetite for something, then they actually are able to eat more. It expands. What translates into actual guf? Whether or not it has an appetite for something, there's some sort of an abstract, like an animal drive. That drive will actually translate into the guf. So another example we've used before is, let's say a person sees a candy and the person likes candy, but they know, they have information that candy fell into a garbage dump. So if a kid doesn't know, their seichel is not aligned, they don't care. Maybe they'll think it even tastes better. They have no idea. They just want the candy. But a healthy individual, they have this piece of information. Now, the guf will just eat the candy and it could taste good. But because if the das, if what they understand translates into the das, so that information was able to impact their integrated wisdom, so that now that they eat this piece of candy, but they have this negative information about it, not only might it not taste good, it may even cause them to physically gag, because this person's faculties are acting as a unified whole. And this really summarizes what we discussed last week. We talked about this koyach hamadame, this imagination. What's imagination? You take ideas and then you relate them to yourself. You create a reality. This reality that we create, is it Shrira slave? Is it something that's really coming from the midos? It's working backwards, where instead of transmitting from our intellect, from our seichel, from something that should be purely objective and be able to understand how we relate to ourselves, to those around us, to the world at large, primarily to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is an extension of that, is the Koyach HaMedama actually being driven by our own body, our emotions, our subjective desires, in which case it's sort of bottom up. Or is it being is it a function? Is it a shliach of the seichel, and is it top down? Parenthetically, because as a person moves through life, people are going to have different desires at different times and different situations and at different stages through life. And I'm just sort of reflecting on it for a second myself, because we make life decisions at any one point in time, based on the factors at our disposal. If what's driving our das is going to be our midos bottom up, then we're going to make a lot of wrong decisions. We're going to put ourselves in places where, when we have to live with the impact of those decisions, well, that's not really what's best for us. But in the alternative, if we are operating based on our seichel and we're plugged in and Talmud Torah keneged kulam and we're plugged into Hamakom and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah as the blueprint of creation and the world as being a dear b'tachtainim, well then everything is going to be unified following a pattern to bring out the greater MS, not only for ourselves but also for others, because all of Klal Yisrael, we're all one big family, we're all different pieces of one larger structure. And if we are relating to ourselves as individuals, well then there are 600,000, let's say, individuals. But if we are 600,000 extensions from one source, we all look up to Avinu Shebashamayim, so then Klal Yisrael is really be'etzem one unified whole. And this idea of how Das really creates unity and really is an expression of unity comes up in a lot of different ways. Interestingly, he had a beautiful line over here. I just want to look back to what we said last week. He says, as a person goes through the seichel b'kayach, there's the seichel and the potential, and then there's the seichel b'payel, the actualized seichel, and then it moves into the seichel nikna, where we take this and it becomes full integration. It says, seichel nikra masha adam yodea harbe dvarim b'yedia achas. A person knows a lot of different things. Ki kaidem tzorach leida harbe hakdamais kaidem shi'ez. So a davar, in order to be able to, let's say, draw a circle or a line for that matter, or any picture, if you would go microscopically, what it really is a lot of different dots. Each dot on its own is just stands on its own. It's an independent piece of information. When you have this pattern and you connect all of those dots together, now there's a picture, and the dots lose their independent expression. We see this in everything, by the way. If some of this farm talk about the amount of independent movements there are to speech, if you think about the different kayachas of where the tongue, something comes out, you have to loosen and constrict the vocal cords, and the way that the tongue is on the roof of the mouth or the teeth, or a voice comes out of the throat. If you would have to describe to somebody how to speak a word, it would almost be impossible to describe, and even harder to follow. You would have no idea what the person is talking about, and yet a person is able to express themselves in a way that once you understand, it's like speaking. It's like riding a bike. You would no longer, even if you need to independent points in order to be able to theoretically ladder up to something, once you have that picture, it's seichel and nikna, it's integrated wisdom, you just know what you're talking about, you would no longer even be able to unsee that, to identify the independent piece of information, which are not substantial in their own context. And therefore, this is the das, this is the integration of the seichel, the way to look at the world that we, in order to be well adjusted, that we want to achieve. And the Shriris Halev, when the Koyach HaMedama starts being bottom up, it starts going in its own direction, then that is Be'etzem the source of all Aveira, it's the source of all Purit, it's the source of Sinas Chinam, and so on. And he says that because the source of this Chachma was the Beis HaMikdash, Ziv Chalukim Ruach Nishbara, we had the opportunity when we had Karbonas to be able to sacrifice this Koyach HaMedama, which beforehand is actually related to almost as like the animal drive, the animal intellect. And that's why at the end of paragraph Aleph, it was talking about the things we lost access to, unfortunately, but when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we lost access to the Shamir worm, which would be able to cut through the Lev Evan, was be able to cut through the stone so that we can get back in touch with our intellect. And Chashibana Beis HaMikdash is Yizkaim in a Umayim in a Mikdash Yetzei. Okay, so now we will start. paragraph bays, and just introducing paragraph bays, we now explain that a person has to break his koyach hamadama to make his chachma, the information available, to be able to actualize that through his koyach of bina, and then internalize it through his koyach hadas. But this is not a one-time process. We're going to explain that this is a moving process. We explained at length in earlier Torahs a system of makifin and makifin to makifin, a system of avoda in terms of concentric circles where I have a relationship with those areas directly and immediately beyond me. And as I move in and I grow and I incorporate those levels, I now gain a relationship with those levels beyond that and consistently am able to grow grow and expand. Further, as one grows either within a particular system, within a particular oilam, from one darga to another, or ultimately graduates and is able to elevate from one system to another. We have this even in our world. A person is in elementary school and then they reach the top and then they go into middle school and they have to start from the beginning again. We'll speak about that soon. We view one level within any particular level, any particular system, and this applies whether you're looking at the system as a whole in a general sense or any particular aspect of it. There is the pnimius and then there's the chitzenius. There is the core and then there's the expression. So for instance, the pnimius of, let's say, speech would be machshava, and then the way that machshava, that thought comes out, is going to be embodied by speech. I'm going to have a will, and then that will is going to generate a particular action. If you have a teacher and a student, a Rebbe and a Talmud, the Rebbe has whatever the messages that he wants to get across. He has to dress it up. He has to have a halbasha, maybe certain mashalim, in order to be able to convey the point, the strength. We said before, the strength of a mashal is maintaining the integrity of the point, but dressing it up in a way that is receivable by the student. So the chitzonius of the Rebbe, as it were, what the Rebbe knows and the depth that the Rebbe has as a particular idea might be much deeper, much more expansive than whatever he's giving over, but he creates a chitzonius. That chitzonius, that outer dressing that he's giving over to the Talmud, will now become the pnimius of the Talmud, of what the student is able to build off, and it works the other way around. So this process works top down as well as bottom up, so that this system where multiple levels are related, each one building off of the chitzonius of the Elyon becomes the pnimius of the Tachton, that works as far as the development in the creative process and the giving over process. It also reflects itself in terms of the growth process. Now, at any particular point in time, all of these are connected, but if you would think about, if you would look upwards, in other words, at the levels that are disconnected, it could be that the chitzonius, the outer halbasha, the guf of a higher level, might actually be higher than the panemia of a lower level. What would be an example of this? Let's say a person who's holding at a particular level, he gives a lot of money to yeshivas. What would be the guf of that? What might even be the klipa of that? Could be he's giving it for kavod. He's giving it, he wants his name on the side of the building. There might be people where in their wildest dreams, their ruchnius is not even holding by seeking honor for giving money to yeshivas. The kavod that they're looking for is something for, doing adventures. They may or may not give some level of tzedakah, but they wouldn't take honor in that. The idea that somebody takes honor in tzedakah is something halavai that I should relate even to the klipa of my ruchnia should be where this person's uguf is. So a person slides up in levels successively and respectively until at each point in time they're able to raise their pnimius, and alongside they're able to build up their chitzonius as well. But we're going to see this as we go through. So the second paragraph starts v'dasha b'chol oilam v'oilam v'chol madrego madrega, within every oilam, and in a klaliistic way we talk about the oilamus. We talked about it in the last tyro. We've seen the we've seen abiyah, right, aleph beis yud ayin, as being the oilamus. Really, there's Olamas above also, but Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. So within each Olam, representing almost a different layer of expression of the iterative process of creation and relationships with Hashem. But within each one of those Olams, there's also Madrega. So as you climb up in Olams, and then the bottom of the top level can now become the top of the next level. So B'chol Olam, B'olam, B'chol Madrego, Madrega, Yesham Dem Yoinais Elu. V'hem hem ha'klipas ha'kaidmen l'pri. So again, we're going to go into this process where somebody is going to move through and grow and consistently have to deal with this process of encountering klipa as they're going to enter into the next level. I'm going to use a mashal that I sort of referenced a moment ago. If you think about a person, for argument's sake, starting high school, there's going to be social challenges breaking in. He's going to be at the beginning of a system. There's going to be academic challenges. Maybe the class is now at a higher level. Now, the truth is that this is not the first time he's encountered some of these challenges. He will have had them at a different altitude. Maybe when he was starting middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, he would have entered into a system. When he was starting first grade, he might have had that, and he'll have it again when he goes into college or Beis Medrash, into Kailal, into a profession, at each one of those points in time. So it's interesting that at each one of these systems, then they're going to parallel each other. In other words, each one of these systems is reflective of the same process. If we want to talk about the spheres in terms of the relationships, Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, that will exist within each one of these islands. As a person graduates and elevates in terms of Avoda, he's able to, we spoke at length about this in the last Torah, he's chasing the horizon, he's chasing a certain height, and as he gets there, he realizes that the process begins over again. If you think about the layers of an onion, from this person's perspective, he's trying to get to the core of the onion. This is as far as he could possibly envision in terms of his goal, and then finally he gets to the core of that onion, and he realizes that there's an entire new onion, that what he viewed as the panemius of that particular system was actually the chitzonius of an entire new system, and now he starts again, and the challenges might even be similar to the klipas that he had originally experienced, and now he's addressing them again for the first time within that new system. Which isn't necessarily to say that there aren't new challenges that he hadn't experienced before. It could be that at a lower altitude, for his personality, for his makeup, it didn't present the challenge to them. And now, at that higher level, it's something that he hasn't had to deal with yet. We'll speak soon. So again, v'dash b'chol oilam v'oilam b'chol madrego madrego, within every system, within every oilam, and at every stage within that system, yesham demyonos eilu, there are these, there's this koyach hamadama that we've been discussing that is going to try to seduce him into du'averis, instead of being reflective of top down of the Chachmas Hashem, of Ratzon Hashem, so that he's all lined up and there's total unity. At every step, it's going to try to present new challenges to him. Vehem heim at every stage, there's going to be a pri chadash. He's trying to get to the core of that onion, and there's going to be the klipais for that level that tried to prevent him from getting to the pri. And sometimes he can get incredibly blindsided. V'sayvim es kedusha, and they are surrounding the kedusha. Bebechinas saviv rishaim yishalachon. So Kedusha, if we think about it as a lashon of muvdal, it's a lashon of separated, it's a lashon of it's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of perfection in a certain sense. So for each level, we're rising, potentially going to the Pri Chadash, going to the next level of Kedusha, shooting for the fruit, for the core, so to speak, the inner part of the next onion. And yet, as I now relate to a new level of Kedusha, which previously was beyond me, it was out of my purview, it's nothing that I even would have had a relationship with or wouldn't have even been on my radar as an actual goal, practically speaking. But now that I have a relationship with it, it's going to come with its own challenges. Now, again, those challenges that we're calling Rishon, those challenges that we're calling the klipa of any particular level, at the levels below, might not have necessarily been considered Rishus. Every single level has its own Bechira, has its own Nisyonos, has its own growth process, right? When a Rav gets up and he's giving a shir and he has a test of Kavod for the person that's working on coming to Shul, the person that's working on becoming from, you know, Halavai, that he should get up and he should be a Rav, and his problem should be not taking kavod when he's helping other people grow. Is he doing that for Shemayim, or he's the one who's helping to leverage those talmidim to grow? So there's but at each particular stage, it's going to have that klipa in order to get to the kedusha. So that at any level that the individual is at, it's going to be 50-50. There's going to be those nisyonos, but as a person breaks through those ceilings, they're going to graduate. U'chashadim netach mimadrega lemadrega. When a person removes himself, he elevates himself from one step to the next, Asarach lo leilech derech elu demyonos, the way to break through to Kedusha, no pain, no gain, right? The way to be able to break into the next stage of Kedusha is to have to go through the outer trappings, the worldly, so to speak, expression of that Kedusha, to access what's in the middle of that, kedei lahagia ala Kedusha. Now, just 2 points on this. Number one, this also explains why a person can't skip steps in growth. You see somebody acting in a certain way, and then you want to copy happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift of growth, a gift of bring Tikkun Tarself to the world around us, the world at large, to Klal Yisrael, which means wherever it is that we're starting off, we have a job to climb that ladder, to climb that ramp, and every single step we're actually accomplishing something. So if you can take the cheap way out, even assuming that it wouldn't be fake, even assuming that it would be lasting, and you can get a helicopter ride to the top of that mountain, well, you might have ended up with a better point of view, and maybe you even needed a boost to get there. Maybe there are reasons why a person would theoretically want to try to just take a boost and kind of lama b'sha achas and so on. But the practical reality is that there are certain things that a person will not have gained by the exercises of growth, which brings me really to my second point: is we see why great people can sometimes fall for various reasons. They're not prepared for the challenges at the next level. One reason would be if let's say they had like an immediate boost and they ended up on a high level without actually building up through that process. So there's something lacking in the integrity of where they're holding. But another reason would be, in my example previously, let's say a person started off, first grade, goes up to fifth grade, then starts again middle school. And now in their mind, they're in eighth grade. They're the king of the school. But there might have been certain social issues, certain challenges that they never had a chance to work on when they were a newbie, when they were the youngest kid, when they were at the youngest ages. Now they get to ninth grade or they get to first year college, whatever it is. Now, all of a sudden, when the stakes are higher, right, when the social pressures are more, when the academic challenges are more, they never actually had the opportunity to work on growing into themselves, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just parenthetically, I can tell you something I've thought about before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a tremendous gift. That gift is that we are able, in order to build resilience, we're constantly able to work on adversity. Now, that adversity on a level 1 to 10 might have been a kid being very upset when somebody stole their snack, or it might be somebody made fun of them. Well, the stakes are relatively low at that point. If, God forbid, a person has family challenges, work challenges, parnassa challenges, well, how are they going to be expected to deal with the problems of life? Well, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to go through the growth process and learn to deal with the 6, 7, 8, 9s, and 10s of life, so that when the stakes get higher, they already have experience dealing with the adversity of the 8s, 9s, and 10s. If they're pampered and they go up in levels without ever having to exercise those muscles, then they can have a tremendous fall. We see the Jews by the Egel after they had all the Yetzias Mitzrayim, they fell by the Egel. And we always ask, they were on such a high level, how did they have a fall? And we see, first of all, they had a very quick process, so they never really truly built up from 0 to 100, as it were. And second of all, the fact that a person might have not had a problem, might have either successfully addressed the challenges, or maybe it was such that they didn't have those challenges at all at the lower levels, and all of a sudden they thought, I don't have a problem with this particular thing, but they don't have the muscles to deal with it at the higher level. And therefore, a person that was very easily able to navigate the social challenges of one situation, and he tells somebody, oh, this is not a problem, but he ends up in a situation with a lot more friction or something that he wasn't prepared to deal with, well, then he's going to have a fall in a challenge that he never realized that he had. So as a person is growing, first of all, into different arenas, but in this case, he's growing from level to level, and he's going to address the klipas of each successive level. He's going to have to gear up for war at each stage. As he wants to break into those new challenges with those new goals, with those new levels of Kedusha, he's going to essentially have to address those klipas, which are going to get up. They're going to wake up to present himself at each new level. And he's going to have to be machnia them, subjugate them, control them. Once they're under control, person that just tries to break something when it's in control of them, well, you know, it could be a facade. First he has to gain control of it, and then he has to break it with a tarosam hamakom mea klipais. And he has to purify that place, that stage of life, that stage of the bria from those klipas. Again, on one hand, we look at it from the point of view of the mensch, from the point of view of the person, we have our own avoda, and we're also misakin the bria, and we're going to clear out that space from these klipas. As we go to the next paragraph, Gimel, we start talking about avoda in a way that we've spoken about before, but it really just expands the entire discussion. It expands our mind and just introduces different perspectives and a reframe on how we approach avoda. meaning that we're really looking at our avodah from two different dimensions. In one way, there's a pratistic way of looking at avodah. We have our own universe. Kaila ilam niver b'shvili. I have to develop. I have to use my bechira. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me certain challenges, certain advantages and disadvantages, if you will, opportunities for growth, and I have to develop myself into being the best individual, the closest that I can to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to develop my das to flow through, use my chelik elokami mal, if you will, and convert my nefesh bahamas to be able to utilize and ultimately transform it towards being totally God-centric. On the other hand, there is more of a global, more of a klalistic perspective that can exist within families, within communities, within generations, across the span of generations. We've had some of the discussions as we talk about the tzaddik as relates to the individual avoda, talking about the Jewish people as an organism and understanding, and already Torah Beis, we talked about the Mishkan, where every single person has to develop their perfect piece of the Mishkan, and yet there's no Hashrasa Shechina until the Mishkan is put together into a unified whole. And it's the job of the Tzaddik Hadar to put that together so that everybody fulfills their role, but also understands their piece as part of a broader machine. Keeping this in mind, we now are going to ask, if we view not just Avoda from our own personal perspective in terms of how we have to develop, but we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Tzimtzumim and so on, so that all of the aspects of the Bria, at least in terms of a Giloy, are actually a limitation. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu create these limitations in the Giloy on the Bria? So that he can give us the opportunity to be Mesakin, that we can be creators, we can be godlike, Mahu Af'ata. But now, if the job is to be misaking these different parts of the Bria, even if we are sliding up into different slots, as it were, from our own personal avoda, but the klipas at any given slot in that Bria, we're trying to make as practical, as relatable as possible, some of these very abstract ideas. If the klipas at any particular level were already worked on, cleared out by whoever was there before. So until now, we've been addressing presenting the discussion in from the point of view of the individual, but from the point of view of the klal, then those klipas at the higher altitude that I now get to should have been worked on. Everybody has there's a group of people that are trying to clean the house. Even if I now work on my piece and now I'm able to go to a floor above, well, that's already been worked on by somebody. Keeping this in mind, let's explore paragraph Gimel, where every line can really be expanded on, but we'll try to hold it together and then be able to explore the pieces. I'm going to read a few lines and then we're going to go back. So first of all, Dash ein shnei bnei adam shavim zeh lazeh, no two people are alike. Why? Everything is occupying a different part of the system, again, existing independently, but also interrelated. So each person has their own avoda. But on the other hand, on the spectrum of the world at large, everything is interconnected. They affect themselves and they affect the others around them. And the way that the system is set up is, again, overlapping. So the pnimius of at one level now has a halbasha, there's a chitzonius, and the pnimius shel tachtein nase levush v'chitzonius l'chitzonius elyon, the pnimius, the inner part of something at the lower level. So since the lower level is overlapping the thing on top of it, then whatever is at the inside of the lower level is actually a levush on the chitzonius of the elyon, which again, we're going to have to explore this. So if you put something into a sleeve, then there's going to be the pnimius, the sleeve will be writing on it, but that entire thing is a sleeve on something that comes above it. So at any level, there's a pnimius and there's a chitzain, and then that whatever's riding on that, that will be the pnimius to whatever the chitzon is at the level below it. Nimtza, so if we have this setup where every single person is occupying one slot, as it were, in the creation, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a linear slot. We could think about it in any matrix, different pieces of a puzzle. However it helps to think about it, no two people are going to be occupying the same slot with the same avoda. While we all have our own individual avoda, the world at large has all of these pieces that need to be worked on. Nimtza, kishe'echad as each person wants to rise to the next level, as I hailech v'netak ha'adam ha'aymeh b'madreg elyona v'holech v'netak l'madrega ha'yayser elyona. No two people can be working on the same slot at once. Now, we had our original question, well, if that slot was already worked on, maybe nobody has to be there. But leaving that aside for a second, if any single person is going to slide up, or we'll see down, that means that the entire system is going to actually slide up or down, because no two people are going to be operating, occupying the same slot at any given time. Now, let's explore some of this for a second, because these ideas are just so yesidistic, and they will hopefully bring the Torah to life and make it somewhat relatable. I'm going to start just, the Likutei Halachos discusses this, Chayshin Mishpat Hilcha Shemer Sachar Beis Yud, but I'm going to start actually mentioning it from a Musar perspective that we discussed when we did some of our Ali Shur Vadim at the beginning of the second Chelek. As we look at Avoda, the people are holding in different places, and one of the things that we say is, listen, lefum tzara agra, and therefore it's true that one person can get 100 on a test without much effort, and another person has to study very, very hard to get a 75 or an 80 on a test. So what's more important? Well, one of the difficult parts of education, or the educational process and system, is that it's linear and it's systematized, and there has to be a certain organization of it. But in terms of individual avoda and accountability, if each person is standing on its own, it could be that my 75 is worth more than somebody else's 100. The problem is as we work on ourselves, that only goes so far. It becomes very difficult to motivate somebody towards what they perceive as mediocrity. And therefore, before we start just, you know, going down the path and defining midos and trying to work on things in a general context, a person really has to internalize that whatever it is that they're working on is not really part of a standardized system, but rather, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, there are going to be certain tikkunim, and there's going to be, like we said, a matrix, the way that we've described it in the past, even just using, let's say, time and place, is that no two people can occupy the same slot. So, for example, me and you can exist at the same time, but not the same time in the same place. And we can be in the same place, but not at the same time. This means that as you plot history, no two people will ever be able to occupy the same space and time slot. Now, if we introduce extra variables to this, right? This not only just the flat idea of space and time, we could be talking about culture, points of view, community, sensitivities, the type of music you grow up with, two people in the same family, different birth order, even within different birth order, it's not just the way that you relate to your siblings, but it could be if siblings are, let's say, 10, 15, 20 years apart, one person will have been growing up when they were 5 or 10 years old with, let's say, a 30-year-old parent, and then the other person at that same stage of life will have had a 50-year-old parent. They might be at different financial stations in life. No two people at all will have the same experience and exactly the same set of challenges and really opportunities for growth, which is, I mean, it's really mind-blowing and fascinating. It means as much as we, let's say, have our heroes, we have those people, those ideals that we look up to, there's a fine line between saying, I'm trying to grow to be like that person or what that person represents, but really apply it to myself. If I have, let's say, in our own context, we look at our Gedolim, we look at our Rabbanim. Well, if I am 20 years old and I am looking upwards towards somebody who's 70 years old, that person developed when he was 20 in let's say a different country and a different set of challenges, different type of community when he was 20. That person, had he been growing up in Brooklyn in 2025 as a 20-year-old person, might never have reached the heights that he reached. So I'm being able to see how this person utilized his strengths and apply it to myself, and yet the challenges that I have, the growth, that the way that I'm able to bring Tikkun to the world, is nothing that anybody in the history of creation could ever have done. So this, in fact, means that no two people are even actually taking the same test of, number one, in terms of their own individual avoda, but also in terms of their impact in the world. Now, as we take a second, press pause, and we start to absorb all of this, what this means is, think about how much our individual avoda is impacted by our surroundings and others, and impacts our surroundings and others. Think about two people who are members of the same class, different chavrusa makeup, different level of class is going to affect how hard the Rebbe has to prepare, how receptive they are, how engaged he is, right? If one person is making jokes and the entire level of the class descends, not only because of the influence on others, but just because the difference in atmosphere is going to create a totally different dynamic in that classroom in terms of what the opportunities are and what can ultimately be accomplished in a klaliistic way and in a pratiistic way. All of this, I think, the way that I'm learning, is embedded in Rabbeinu's discussion, and I'm sure that there's much, much more here than even we're discussing. It's embedded in the discussion of Kishe'echad writes a lalos mimadregaso, the madreg eliona. When one person goes up, then as he moves from his level, then those occupying the slots above him will also shift, and it could work, chas v'shalom, in the other way as well. The notes over here discuss the concept of harama, of lifting up. They discuss the concept of kol Yisrael arevim zeh bezeh. But I think one of the important points, and this was a shift from the last paragraph, is we're not necessarily only talking about this from the perspective of individual avoda, where you could say, let's say, schar v'oinesh, if I am responsible for the entire world improving, or Rahman al-Salam the other way, or on the other hand, let's say I get bumped up or down by virtue of somebody else. Well, I have schar v'oinesh, it wasn't really my fault. Those are separate discussions, but from the point of view of the system, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who put the system in place, and like a mashal that we've used many times before, it's not so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to build a building, it's more that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to create, let's say, a raft, if you will, not my mashal, to tie various logs together until a bunch of individual logs leveraging each other, each one in the perfect place that it can be, can allow something to rest on it. Or an even better mashal, which actually comes from Varon Lopiansky, is the mashal of an arch, where an arch is an incredibly strong structure. And yet, unless every piece, imagine an arch built of pieces, no two of which are exactly the same shape, so that they couldn't be interchanged, unless every single piece is exactly where it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to be, whether it's a very large piece at the base of the arch that's going to bear a lot of the weight as you build it up, question how you build it in general, or let's say the keystone, or let's say the stone that's going to be at the very top, that's actually going to be the final piece that holds it all together, which might actually be a very small piece, but that, in a certain sense, that will be the piece that ultimately holds this entire structure there, so that it can bear the weight of what rests on it. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, wants us to build up this structure, to create this arch, so that we can bring the Hashras Hashchina into the world, but this entire structure is totally interrelated. And a lot of this forum talk about different ways Mashiach could come, if you have a dar that's kuloi like this, or a dar that's kuloi like that. However, the final structure ends up being in place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a gili in different ways is actually going to be dictated by us. So therefore, every single person, going back to our classroom example and the Torah that the Rebbe is able to give over, and the ultimate level of the class, because he'll be teaching to a certain point on the bell curve, every single part of this entire system is actually going to be affected and impacted and changed by any person, and it can elevate the entire system, or it can bring the entire system down. So as we go back into the text, the representation of how the entire system is interrelated is that the panemius of one level is going to ride and be a sleeve on the chitonius of the other level. And just one other point, and then we're going to go forward in the text, is this doesn't necessarily have to be linear. I might suggest that there are areas where I am holding at a very high level, and then there are areas where I don't scratch the surface. I'm the chitzonius, or even further than that, from other people that might be the same in a totally different area of avoda as I am. So, you know, it becomes extremely complex. It's a little bit myopic to be able to say that one person is just universally higher than another one. Every person occupies their own makom, and without having to revert to the idea that one person is necessarily greater than another, b'makom that one person is standing, another person is not going to have the opportunity to ever have filled that slot or done the avoda at that level, whether it's higher or lower. So going back into the text over here, I'm going to read it through. No two people are alike. Because there is a progression, there's a system, there's a continuum of neshamas, and perhaps again we can introduce that that even within the neshamas, this applies at different levels, at different areas, depending on the mitzvah, depending on the on whatever we're discussing. But within any particular system, any particular continuing, each one is connected. And looking at the system as a whole, there's one. Each one is gonna. They're connected such that any particular thing is a sleeve. It's a halbasha. It becomes an expression of whatever is pnimius to it. To pnimius shel tachton, the inner part of the tachton is going to be nasa levush v'chitzonius l'chitzonius elyon. Hey, why is it not just that that's the pnimius to the chitzonius? Okay, we'll leave it for now. Nimtza kasha echad roitza lalais mi madregasai la madrega elyona, as a person wants to rise up in levels. So there's, when we look at it, when we discuss it from the point of view of avoda, a lot of times I say that I'm expanding myself, as it were, to encompass more and greater, greater types of challenges, opportunities for growth. On the other hand, when we looked at it from the system point of view, and every single person is able to address a particular tikkun aspect of that system, people are rising up through the levels. One of the reasons that we could say that an Adam is much greater than a malach resides at a particular level, which might be very high, but they don't have the opportunity to change the world or to rise through the levels. They're just occupying that space, but without being part of that dynamic or controlling any part of that dynamic process. Azai, haylech v'netak ha'amad Adam oimed b'madrega elyona, now the entire system is going to shift up. V'haylech v'netak l'madrega ha'yayser elyona, and the person who is occupying the level above, right? The best kid in the class, if the entire level of the class shifts up, now that the kid who's the smartest kid in the class will actually improve as well. So will the Rebbe. Ki efshishiyu shnei anashim b'madrega achas. He's talking from a cosmic point of view that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not creating two people to work on exactly the same tikkun. It's impossible that two people will occupy the same space, as it were. And because the entire, thinking about it a little bit differently, since the entire creation is in a balance, if you think about it like that, you have a two-pan scale, or think about the world like a mobile, right? 1,000 two-pan scales, 1,000 things that are equally interbalancing each other out so that you have a system that's perfectly balanced at any given time in order to be able to function. Any change in balance along the system is going to make, 1,000 changes and counterbalances so that the system can function, and then ultimately every person and every community and every structure is operating within a certain surah, within a komus adam. We say that they're all different evarim of adam arishon contained, that such as 600,000 yidin are really 600,000 perspectives creating a shlemus, and it's creating a shlemus in any given situation. The shlemus that we're creating is not necessarily taking the same form as the shlemus that was represented in a different generation, but it is a complete structure. I'm just going to mention one very fast point before we move on in the text that the notes over here bring from Likutei Halachos. This is one of the reasons why we do find machleiksim even among great men and among people who have the best of intentions, because if a person doesn't realize that they are, that while they are at the center of the universe as pertains to them and their avoda, but they lemaisa are occupying one slot, one point of view, a person can say, listen, I am relating to Torah, I am relating to objective truth, I'm relating to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I see somebody taking a totally different path in life. If a person is not able to take a step back and factor their own bias, their own subjectivity out of it, and try to see the entire world through their point of view, it can be very difficult to reconcile that somebody else is taking a totally different approach, and to say they are just as equidistant from the center of the circle as I am, just from a different point of view. And therefore, their subjectivities get in the way. There's a certain bias. There almost becomes a certain gaiva, a certain pride, but in a negative way towards the avoda that they're doing. And they want to become the center of all of the expressions rather than just understanding that they are fulfilling their avoda and another person equally has their avoda. And it's very difficult sometimes not to impose one's perspective on others, or not view the avod of others solely through their own subjectivities. Now, going further, again, hoping that we can try to discuss these ideas, very intimidating as high as these ideas are, but try to at least read the words in some meaningful way. Ve'enoy netak me'adam elyon. So now we have this process, and we're going to isolate one part of the process over here. So we're viewing it as being linear. And in this system, we will have, let's say, A and B. B will be the pnimius, the inside of C. C will be resting on B. But for the next, if you think about like dominoes, now C will be the inside of the CD. D will be resting on C. And then, like we said, each thing is a sleeve on the thing that came before it. There's the pnimius and the chitzon. Now, earlier on, we used the lashon, we're going to talk about it as well, that when something slides up in this process, it becomes the chitzon on the chitzon of the thing above. Why is that? Well, it's interesting. At any point in the process, there's a pnimi, and then the chitzon is an expression of that pnimi. So if I have, let's say, a machshava, then that with the chitzonius, the external part of that thought, will be the words, putting those thoughts into words. On one hand, the words are lower down in the system than machshava. On the other hand, they're actually expressive. They're the chitzonius of the machshava, of something that's much higher up. So the chitzon, the words that relate to a higher machshava might actually be more lofty than the machshavas of somebody lower down. Now, the person lower down starts to want to rise themselves up. Which part of that what they're working on rises up? It leads with the pnimi, with the higher aspect of it. So, which makes sense. My actions can't lead, or at least in a meaningful way, more than my thought process, more than my ratzon. So what rises up at any point in that process, whichever person we want to isolate, what rises up from the Adam Elyon, Ela Pnimishlo, the person's pnimius rises up. Vachitzonius Nishar, but the chitzonius remains the same. The outer trappings, it makes a reshimu, right? There are certain aspects of the Bria which are dynamic. My thought process can rise above. My words can rise above. My body, for instance, might be the same. So as a person rises up, the pnimi of him rises up, but the certain aspects of his chitzonius will actually remain in the same place. I can say, me and you can daven exactly the same, by the way, and my machshavas can be much loftier than yours, and yet we're saying the same words. So the fact that my pnimius rises doesn't necessarily mean that the chitzonius will move. So as a person rises up, his pnimius rises up, v'gam ha'adam shememadreda mega hatachtoina, so we said that this is a dynamic process. As one person moves up, it brings the person below to rise up as well, and it pushes the person above him to rise up even to further heights. But from the pnimius and the chitzon, which aspect of a person is rising up? It's the pnimius of each part of the process that's rising up. The pnimius shel tachto nasa chitzon lechitzonius elyon. But so now what ends up happening is, if you think about this in terms of a chain dynamic, I know it's very technical, but I keep on saying that, just trying our best. So if the pnimius rises up, and that my pnimius is going to rest on the chitzon of what's above me. The chitzon of what's above, I'm going to be really on the chitzonius of that chitzon, because the chitzonius of what's above me might be on a higher level than my pnimius. So my pnimius is now going to be on the chitzon of the, on the chitzon above me. But so what's above me now? There's the pnimius that was there before, there's its chitzon, and then there's not my pnimius, which just rose up, and now it's going to be riding on the chitzon above me. But at exactly the same moment, the pnimius of the level above me will also rise up. So it comes out that the chitzonius of the level that used to be above is now going to become the new pnimius to the chitzon, which used to be my pnimius. So again, we're going to read it inside. V'gam ha'adam shemadrega tachtayna inu netak v'aylele pnimius. Each pnimius, all the pnimius in are rising up. V'pnimius shel tachton, the pnimius of what used to be tachtayna is going to become nasa, the chitzonius, l'chitzonius ha'elyon, as this entire dynamic process in parallel continues to shift up. And now coming to answer the question that we started paragraph Gimel with, v'af al pi shekvar nishbar aklipa shemadrega elyon, even though whatever person was occupying that particular slot before he slid up was now holding at a level of pnimius, and therefore, since he was holding at the level of that tikkun, he had broken the klipas at that level. Afal pikein kishe pnimius shel elyon netak misham, when that pnimius at that level that had reached the inside of that onion, had reached the inside of that core and gotten past the klipas at that level, so that person's pnimius had addressed the klipas at that level, upnimius, there's a girsa, a question, a girsa over here, whether this word is pnimius or chitzonius, but I'm going to read it as a upnimius. Hatachton Oile, and the now the Pnimius of the Tachton goes up and is going to become the Chitzain at the higher level. That Chitzain, only the person that was at the Pnimius of the higher level had broken past the Klipa. This new person who was a Pnimius at the lower level is now rising up, and in the role, he's going to be in the position as a Chitzainius at the higher level. That person at the Chitzainius never yet was able to get inside. He was never able to get into the Pnimius because he has not yet addressed those klipas. As I klipa chayzer v'neir, the klipas which were dormant, they were not destroyed. They were, but they became dormant. Right? Sometimes two people are in a room where somebody is there, and then one light can totally outshine whatever is there. But when that light gets removed, so then the other things now become apparent again. The klipas, and this makes sense. In other words, at some point, there's going to be ultimately the total gilui, and the total truth will be there, and everything will ultimately line up and only be an expression of godliness. But in the world as it is, this is the represent. Every single thing in the system has the pre and it has the klipa. Our job is to line up the klipa so that it's part of the pre, but that's our avoda at every given level. So therefore, we're sort of speaking about both aspects of this avoda. There's the structure at large, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should be misakein, and then there's our own individual avoda. And since these processes work together, if you can imagine, going back to my example about the classroom, let's say you have a very rowdy classroom. You can have one Rebbe that comes in, and he's able to tame the children. He's able to disarm them and teach them in a certain way. That Rebbe goes, he gets a promotion, he retires, whatever it is. When the new teacher comes in, those kids, which were be'etzem rowdy kids, they had a lot of liveliness. They now are ultimately going to revert possibly to their ways, and the way that the new teacher tames them is going to be a totally different personality, totally different methodology of teaching, and it could be that he will tame them also, but now it's going to be a different aspect, chipping death by a thousand cuts, right? He's going to chip away now at their liveliness, but whether positive or negative, but coming from a totally different angle, he's going to appeal to them. And therefore, this rowdiness, this klipa, as it were, is going to be chayzer v'nir. It was only machnia, was subjugated to the higher pnimius of alefnea, tachton, afil lefnei pnimiusav, but to the person who is at the bottom, even though this person's pnimius now rose up, yesh kayach biyad l'tzar kenegdo, this pnimius that rose up is really going to be in the role of the chitzanius at the higher level. U'bishvil zet tzarach lay l'shabra, she's going to have to address it totally from anew, but not just totally new. It's also going to be a new way of addressing it. It's a new teacher with a different personality, with a different skill set that's going to be addressing the same challenge. Okay, I actually wanted to finish paragraph Gimel, but we said a lot, and I think we're going to hold it over here, Be'ezus Hashem, and we will continue next time.